Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. It's Tuesday, aka the day after the Super Bowl, and you're tuned in to your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. I thought Scotty D was about to moon the camera, and I'm like, good God almighty, don't want to see that ass first thing in the morning. This your boy, the HOC, Eddie Cool.
Should be so lucky.
Oh, God, the agency business thing, Eddie Cool. And like I said, this is your favorite sports podcast. None other than the Sports Bros Podcast. I'm pretty sure it would be a joy and a pleasure for some people just to hear me talk by myself. But sometimes I get tired of myself. And as B-Live shakes his head in agreement, not only do I have one, but I have two of the best co-hosts in the world. Introducing first, the man down there at the Share Studios. He fitting to be busy, so don't waste his time. He is the almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? This episode is brought to you by the newest medicine that's hitting the streets right now that's going to take away all of your hot flashes. Yes, that is how we start off the Super Bowl with a commercial about medicine that will reduce hot flashes for women. Y'all may not remember that. I do vividly because I was so ticked off because I knew this was going to happen. Pandering, and more pandering. Oh, wait, yeah, there was a football game. Pandering, and then more. Okay.
How did say it be live? It was a football game at the Usher concert.
Well, that's a whole nother situation within itself, and I love that part. I was just wanting to talk about the commercials, but I digress. I'm not going to do that this episode, or will I? Go ahead and introduce the other guy and his preconceived notions about my alcoholic consumption. It just let him talk some mess. Exactly. Here he go.
Oh boy, here we go. And the other guy, he is the pride of Washington, Pennsylvania, Scotty Cum Laude at Waynesburg University, the star of the Buzz television program there, even though he humbly thinks otherwise. He is the one, the only, the money man, Scotty D.
This is why I just can't get with you. What a great Super Bowl show. What a great Super Bowl show. Now, actually, you know what? I have seen less complaining this year about everything. The commercials, the halftime show, the game itself. I thought it was actually overall a pretty pleasant Sunday. I mean, other than if you were 49ers fan, obviously it ended up disappointing, but went from a grinder game to a good game. I thought most of the commercials were pretty entertaining, and I really don't even care that much about that. It's like one of the least things I worry about the least on Super Bowl Sunday. But I'm a little hungover today on pizza. I had too much pizza and wings. I sat around just rubbing my belly on Sunday on the couch in my PJs, in my comfy clothes, waiting for Usher. I got no complaints other than the Cowboys were not in the game. And my expectation for that is always low going into every football season. So do you guys realize the Cowboys have won the Super Bowl more recently than the 49ers? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that weird? How about that? Mm-hmm. How about that for a stat, you 49er fans?
Well, the Cowboys had ample representation at the Super Bowl with Tony Romo at the helm. And also Post Malone. Did you see Post Malone in his Cowboys gear?
Yeah,
it looked like the one I had when I was in sixth grade.
That's exactly what it looked like. I'm like, yo, you don't have nothing more recent than that, bro.
wearing a Tony Dorsett jersey out of the box. And yeah, his appearance was a little off. His rendition of America the Beautiful wasn't too bad, I thought. And I thought Reba's national anthem got a little bit better as it went along. It started off a little too twangy for me, very, very countrified, but I thought it sounded good the longer she sang it. So no complaints on any of that pregame
stuff. The best performance of all those the beginning songs was Lift Every Voice and Sing. I love every bit of that. And ladies and gentlemen, we could be controversial on another day. Just let us have this one, please. I know there's people out there just mad. Oh, there's only one national anthem. Yes, there is, very much so. But can we just please let us have this? Here's the thing. No, they didn't. They do you understand? Have you ever been on a Twitter machine and saw the amount of outrage that people had just because the NFL elected to have the quote-unquote black national anthem? Oh, there's only one national anthem, and then we look so divided. Just let us have
They do it
that.
Every year for the Super Bowl now, and they do it before opening night, so I don't. That's one of those things also just does fine, do it. I don't care.
Hey, I look at it like this.
I'm letting you have it. If you're asking me, I'm letting you have it.
I'm not asking you because you're...
You just did. You just said, let us have it. I said, okay.
I look at it like this. Damn it, we only get 29 days for Black History Month. This year, we get an extra day, all right? All right, any other day, it's 28 days. My mom's birthday is on the 27th. So just that's why you got to stay off Twitter at certain times of the damn game, because I ain't here to fight. I'm here to watch football. You see this over here? That beat I was holding? Foot damn ball. All right. That being said, let's hop right into it. The top of the order.
All right. Let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order.
Super Bowl 58, the 58th installment of the championship game of the National Football League between the Kansas City Chiefs of the American Football Conference and the San Francisco 49ers representing the National Football Conference. Fellas, this thing started off kind of slow, but it wound up being a pretty good game. And with that being said, what was the most unexpected or surprising aspect of the game? B-Live, we're going to start with you first.
The most unexpected part of the game, I will have to say this. It is actually what I'm about to do right now. This is the most unexpected part.
Oh.
Scotty D, I apologize. I ain't going to do it no more. I won't do it. I will not bet against Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't even make any sense watching this dude. Like, this is now the third time that he's come back from double-digit deficits. And he makes it look easy. He makes it look like this dude is unstoppable. And just, it was absolutely incredible to watch. One thing I will say, the Greenlaw injury that switched up San Francisco's D, you hate to see non-contact. And the thing about it is, when you saw that injury, he was just so pumped to run onto the field and go to work. And you just see his Achilles, his lower leg just give out from underneath them, and you know it's bad. Non-contact injuries in the foot in the NFL and in any level of football, it's always scary. You know it's something that is hard to come back from. And so San Fran had to switch up their defense. Travis Kelce reemerged. Noah Gray had a couple of catches as well, and it just seemed like a switch was flipped. And Patrick Mahomes became just immortal. I hate even put him on that level, but dude, it's insane. It's insane. The Chiefs were weak. we wrote them off. We wrote them off. However way you want to put it, and how you ever, you're like, oh yeah, we came back and I said they were going to win. At one point in the season, all three of us on this program wrote the Kansas City Chiefs off. Their wide receivers can't catch, can't do this, can't do that. They're not scoring the ball, da da da, and just in spectacular fashion. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. He is that dude. And whew, I'm not going to be like the other media pundits and, oh, he's the GOAT. No, you see, you got a whole full career to fulfill before we start anointing you with some mess. Let him finish the career, and then we can compare their resumes. Dang.
I will say Scotty,
he's built for this.
I'm about to say, yes, exactly, Scotty. I didn't mean to cut you off. I will say this, though. He's well on his way. He is well. He's well.
Right.
He's well on his way.
And like I say, I don't want to stir up the talk, because like, I still don't think it's a debate yet. Like, let that man finish his career. Then we can come back and be like, you know what? Yeah, he did it. I know there's always we want to talk it up. And I watched it. I'm over here like the first half. San Fran was doing exactly what I said they were going to do. I said, and it took them to like, what, midway the third quarter for Kansas City to get into the end zone. They had that 6 points that I said that they were going to have. But, man, can I say this? Fourth quarter, Patrick Mahomes, equivalent to Sunday Tiger Woods. I just say, hey, That's a whole different character on PGA Golf, the video game. I'm just saying, it's just a different dude.
Yeah,
and that's not necessarily shocking, but the shocking part is that last week I said I'd never apologize to Scotty D. Nah, bro, this one you deserve, because you called it, you said it. You can't bet against Patrick Mahomes, and bro, I'm not betting the hard earned money against them. But I definitely said that the 49ers had this to win, and they did. So, Scotty D, go ahead and gloat. Here we go.
No, gloat. I mean, it's pretty much open. The guy is painting a picture as one of the all-time greatest. So, that was just the only reason. I thought this was a very even matchup going into the game. That was, to me, why I chose the Chiefs. It was because he's the X factor. What surprised me a little bit, though, was how stout the defenses were as long as they were. I mean, as good as both offenses are, obviously we just talked about Mahomes and Brock Purdy had some weapons and they were he was in the MVP conversation until middle of December. Neither team could score. Neither team could get anything going. And you kept thinking, oh, all right, we got to stop. There's going to be a little bit of momentum shift, that kind of thing. Just wasn't really happening. Yeah, the Greenlaw injury was probably pretty big, but I to me the turning point of the game was something that I really just didn't feel like anybody should be blamed for, and that was the punt botch whenever it hit the player in the leg, and Ray McLeod tried to make the save, and at that point it was just another Kansas City punt. It was just which there were many in the first three quarters. And that happened with like 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter. And that seemed to change the complexion of the whole game, because once that happened, Kansas City scored in the next play. And then the 49ers, undeterred by that shift, come right back down and score themselves, but then botched the extra point, which turned out to be huge. So a couple little things there. At the 2 minute warning, third and four, The 49ers couldn't convert. If they do, I think they win that football game at the 2 minute warning. They came out of the 2 minute warning, and the game was tied, and the Chiefs had already used a timeout early in the third quarter. If San Francisco converts that third and four, they pretty much can take the game all the way down to about 20 seconds or so, and kick a field goal with Moody. Who, by the way, congratulations on having the NFL Super Bowl record for the longest field goal ever for about an hour and a half.
Right. Yeah, for about a whole hour and a half. I saw that.
Harrison Bucker was like, oh, you think you got the record? Hold my beer.
Like, yes, sir.
Yeah, it was like a 20-year-old record, and he had it for like an hour and a half. So, but nonetheless, if they convert that third and four, they have the 49ers have a real opportunity at that point to take the clock all the way down. Maybe even force the Chiefs into one of those decisions like we saw years ago in, I think it was the Packers and Broncos, where you allow San Francisco to score just to get your man the ball back, just get Mahomes the ball back. So if they convert that third and four, Moody kicks a field goal. There's not going to be much time left for Kansas City to respond with no timeouts. And we saw what happened. They ran the blitz and knocked the pass down. They had to settle for that Moody 53-yard field goal, which, again, good on him for drilling another clutch kick. Overall, to me, there wasn't a whole lot of complaints. It's not like you can look at any one thing and say, man, if this guy did this different or did that different, you know, the outcome of the game. And I know that there was some shade being thrown at Shanahan for choosing in overtime to take the ball first, thereby giving the Chiefs the opportunity to have the ball second and say, well, we know what we need to do now. His explanation makes complete sense to me. I don't know. Did you guys hear why he said he took the ball first?
I didn't catch
that. He said that if they scored first, and the new rules now allow both teams to get a full possession, if they scored and then Mahomes came back and scored, they then would have the sudden death advantage. They then would have the, at that point, the 49ers would have had the ball, and all they would have done was kick a field goal to win the game. So
I'm sorry. It's a new rule that even if they scored a touchdown, the Chiefs still had a chance to get the ball?
Correct.
Oh, wow. Did not.
Yeah.
Know
so
that.
had the 49ers scored a touchdown on that opening drive of overtime last night, the Chiefs still were getting an opportunity to, they would have had the chance to match it. They could also. And so then if they also would have scored a touchdown, at that point becomes sudden death. So the 49ers would have had the ball, and all they would have needed at that point was a field goal. So I completely understand that logic, and I can't second guess that either, because I'm sure it wasn't just a spur of the moment decision. They had turned over every stone in every scenario. So, you know, it was just a well played game, and I actually feel like I would have felt sorry for either defensive coordinator for taking a loss in this game, because those defenses really, they just put it all out there, man. You just can see by the end of the game, they left everything out there. Just a well played game. So, congratulations to the Chiefs.
They really,
what you got for me?
They really did. I'm just looking at this game and I was like, there, I really can't poke any holes. I can't find any fallacies. You know, I don't want to say we try to look for anything bad, but we try to find something that's glaring or something that stands out, if you will. I couldn't find a thing. I think both teams played some great football last night, except for Trent Williams, who got back-to-back penalties. But things happen. I was talking with somebody. I was like, look, there's holding. I said, let me tell you something.
Yeah, but the game wasn't an over-penalized game either.
No,
there wasn't a ton of flags. They let him play it out, which I like.
Yep.
The referees didn't sway the game.
Yeah.
They were a non-factor, it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, the referees didn't sway the game, and the players played the game. I mean, rhyme and a funny. I mean, so looking at the game, like overall, like, are we satisfied with this one of the Super Bowl? We like, yay, good. We're good on this one. It's not like, eh.
No. You know, are you ready for the extracurriculars?
Huh?
Yeah.
If they show Taylor Swift one whole time, I swear, dude, there was a drinking game that every time they showed Taylor Swift, we were supposed to take a shot. I would have been in the hospital if I'd have participated in that game. There'd have been cirrhosis of the liver if I'd have participated in that game. Because God, I say again,
did they show her that much last night?
Yes, they did. It was double digits. It was double digits. How many times they showed her?
That would have been right up your alley then, that game.
Okay, see, I'm going to need you to stop this. I'm not going to do this with you on the air. I'm not going to do this. Here's the thing. I'm not going to spend any more time on that, because that was just ridiculous. I'm going to tell you right now, all of them should be ashamed that Mama Kelsey was amongst the general population as opposed to being in the booth. I don't know that the Mama Kelsey gets replaced for Ice Spice in the skybox, whatever.
Mama Kelsey was not in the spy, in the box.
Mm. And
let me tell you something, man. This damn whack ass. All right, first of all, I'm glad you said something about Ice Spice.
And neither were the other four Spice Girls.
Baby Posh and Poot Spice. All right, so let me tell you something. None about of them Ice got Spice, in right? There. I'm gonna tell you something about Ice Spice right now. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Real cute, real beautiful, real beautiful, real appealing on the eyes. But right now, she has a song out called "Fart." Be Live. How long have I been rapping? How long have I been making music? And you mean tell me this little joker here gonna make a song about you thinking of you ain't even a fart, are you? Mm. I have to realize I'm 41 years old.
Yep.
She's in her mid-20s. From time to time, we still tell a these nuts joke because these nuts jokes never die. But a song about a fart, but that's come to realization. Ice Spice is not a lyricist. She makes fun, party, poppy music. That's what she does. But Mama Kelsey,
tell me what you want, what you really, really want. So tell me what you
want. Yup, that too. And Mama Kelsey should have been in that box, in that doggone press box, that sky box, alongside Taylor Swift. We can never get enough of Mama Kelsey, who graduated from Baldwin Wallace University. Right down the street here, but nevertheless, Ice Spice, come on now.
That's like I said,
a song about some fart. I mean, this makes me want to just go get out of here. What is this?
Because I want to reiterate that because there's this false narrative out there. Well, I mean, it's not really false. There are people out there that are just ridiculous that just don't like Taylor Swift. I don't. She's whatever. Her music is not appealing to me. So she's just there, not my genre, not my scene. I just the media. I need the media to stop. Or if anything, I want to see more Mama Kelsey than Taylor Swift, because she's the real deal. She's the mother that raised two, possibly, no, there's no possibly about it. She raised two Hall of Fame players. Jason, both of them are making it into the Hall of Fame.
First ballot.
Period. I'm just supposed to say that's go ahead and stamp that. That's done. I want to see more Mama Kelsey. The fact that she wasn't even in the booth, the fact that Travis Kelsey wouldn't put up the money to put her in the skybox. And then here's the thing. I'd have broke up with Taylor Swift right then and there because she got the money for that. And she chose not to. Okay, I got something for you. When these cameras turn off, you gonna leave my mama out there like that?
Watch
for
this.
With your funky little friends. But yes, and also I got one other thing. You know, so we're in that extra stuff. We talked about the Super Bowl. We talked about all the good, the bad, and really wasn't that ugly. For every single person that I've seen on social media today and yesterday during the game that did not like the Usher performance, just don't exist anymore. What's wrong with y'all? Here's the thing. And the thing about this is I've looked at who's been saying what? The little Gen Zers, I don't even care about them. But I'm talking about people our age that were unimpressed by Usher. You know what? My bad, Eddie Cool. You were going to bring this up, and I want to go ahead and get it out of the way.
Yeah, I'll bring it up. Like I said...
Go ahead. Say your piece so I can talk trash.
To me, I think the performance was good, but he was a little winded. That's all. He was a little winded. But then again, I have to realize, okay, you're singing, you're dancing, you're doing a whole lot. I don't know if the air in Vegas is in Nevada is thin, because you got to remember that's in mountainous territory too, not in that dry desert. So the air intake might have something to do it as well too. But I can't say nothing really. I can't say nothing bad, because guess what? He in better shape at his age, and I'm still trying to get to the damn gym for the first time in 2024. So And second of all, Jermaine Dupri did look like Boss Baby. The first thing I said, he got them little girl socks on. The socks with the little ruffles at the on the edge of them. I'm like, he got his church socks on. Like, what is he doing? Like, somebody was like, what did somebody say? They said, I thought Jermaine Dupri was CeeLo Green. I almost fell off the couch.
He could have doubled for him at that moment. And then what was it, Kanye West? I was like, wasn't he? Didn't y'all cancel him?
I think so, right. Somebody said that was Will I Am.
Oh, so it wasn't. He was out there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, you'd be like, all I saw was side head and all this right here. And I'm
you
like,
know what? That makes more sense because it would have been Will I Am because he's in the song OMG. But whatever. All I saw I was at a Super Bowl get together, party, potluck, whatever you want to call it. And during the halftime performance, the entire crowd, all of us, like, because we're all right around the same age, mid late 30s, early 40s, we were in that place acting a pure donkey. When, like, banger after banger after banger. I'm telling you right now, Usher's performance at the Super Bowl is number two on my list. Because nobody's topping Prince.
No. In the rain?
Nobody's topping Prince. That legendary. Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, yeah, you up there. I just don't like that because that was during John
Carolina,
Casey.
Super Bowl 38.
Yeah. Scotty D, which Super Bowl did Bruce Springsteen perform his halftime show? I like that one.
I'm not sure. I don't specifically recall. He's never been my favorite, so I didn't really bookmark that one.
I said, I don't really listen to a lot of Bruce Springsteen, but I'm like, yeah, he did his thing.
I think the weekend was pretty cool.
No.
with all that
too much weird stuff going on. Yeah, but a bunch of silly people in masks. That wasn't funny. Wow. Almost every year you have people complain that about the Super Bowl performance. I haven't heard as much of that or seen as much that I should say online this year as ordinary. So, yeah, that was good. I thought the cringiest part of the Super Bowl was the overall Travis Kelce performance, getting in Andy Reid's face. After
the in his face, he pushed him.
Yeah, and, you know, Andy Reid can't be dealing with that noise. He's trying to win a Super Bowl. He's got stuff going on. And then the singing the Viva Las Vegas after the Super Bowl. I didn't love that. It's not the first time that Travis Kelce's been on a microphone and made me kind of made my skin crawl a little bit. He'll probably host Saturday Night Live next week, knowing Travis Kelce. But I think he's a first ballot cringe Hall of Famer.
What you got going on there? I see you.
I'm reading this article just popped up. It literally just popped up this morning. Several of the 49ers players didn't know about the new overtime rule, just like I didn't know.
Ooh.
But I think it's their job to know these things. So maybe Shanahan isn't off the hook because that's it. That's his job.
Real quick, fellas, I'm glad you brought up Shanahan. This is the third time, in the Super Bowl. If you're going back to when they played, when he was OC for the Falcons, the last time against Patrick Mahomes, and now this time. While we got a few minutes here, I'm starting to think, will Shanahan ever shake this Super Bowl monkey? Will he ever shake it?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. If you keep getting there, eventually you win. Well, I mean, he's getting there, which is more than a lot of people can say. I think the guy's a heck of a coach, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more here in a few minutes, but he obviously knew the rules, and I'm sure at some point he pulled his team in. Maybe it didn't sink in. I can't imagine him knowing these new overtime rules and not sharing them with the team. That doesn't hold water with me. I didn't completely know them. Matter of fact, when they put the graphic up at the beginning of overtime, it says both teams will give a chance to possess the ball. I said, okay, then they changed that rule from basically because There was a little bit of outrage when the Bills Chiefs playoff game a couple years ago. Everyone felt, well, both teams should get the ball. So they did do that. They changed. Actually, Mahomes even mentioned that in the post-game press conference. And then I did not realize that the Chiefs were not up against the clock when they got to the – when they scored the play with like 3 seconds left in overtime. Had they not scored on that play – Had they just say they ran the ball and the clock would have expired, then they would have gone to the second overtime period because they are entitled to a full possession, which I guess makes sense because if you're going to say both teams get a possession, you can't let one team run the clock all the way down for like 14 minutes and then give the ball to the other team and they get a 1 minute possession if you're going to do it that way. So, and I didn't realize that because as they were coming down the field, I said, the Chiefs have to realize they're up against the clock here. And then Tony Romo stepped in and said, I'm sure there's a lot of people confused at home thinking that the Chiefs are running out of time here. And then that's not the case. And he explained it. So, yeah, that was definitely, that was a first. That was a unique situation. That was the first time we'd ever really seen that.
You're telling me that if the clock would have went out, it would have went into second overtime for them to finish the possession?
Yes.
What the hell?
That's what I'm saying. They both teams are get the opportunity for equal possession. So the Chiefs up. They scored. If you remember, I think they scored on second down. And at the time, I'm thinking they need to hurry up here because not only they're up against the clock, not just down in distance. Mm-hmm. And Romo said if the Chiefs don't score on this next or however he said it, that then the possession would continue into the second quarter of overtime. I think is how he put it.
Okay, they need to not do that because that's just dumb. Yeah, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I heard it and I dismissed it because it sounded like it's the same normal thing. Both teams have a chance to possess the ball unless the first team scores a touchdown. I now go back into my brain parts and whatnot. Now that I think about it, and I dismissed it because I was like, okay, it's just normal overtime, blah, blah, blah. And that was the only thing I questioned. Was like, San Fran, go for it.
Yeah.
Shoot. What would have it hurt for them not to? That is the analytics that they should have used. Go for it. Mm-hmm. If you don't score, Kansas City's going to score. But now that I look back at it, Bill, yeah, if they're going to have possession of the ball anyway, I don't know. It's a mess.
Be live, it's okay not to know, but guess what I do know though? It is time for our favorite portion of the show coming right up, the choices of the voices. And we'll continue this here Super Bowl talk a little bit more. And with that being said, hey yo, button, hit it. Choices of the voices coming at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
And now, our favorite part of the show, the choices of the voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful land. I'm not going to yell this time. Ever. So lovely, Miss Button, for introducing our favorite portion of the show, the choices of the voices. You know how we do this here. We give y'all the questions, y'all give us the answer, and then we do the best we can with what we have. With that being said, Scotty D, what's on tap for this week's choices of the voices?
Well, it seems more people are into the Super Bowl than our Super Bowl question, but I did ask which of this year's teams would be more likely to go back to the big game a year from now, and only a couple of answers, but I have some thoughts I'll share on that. Eddie Cool, what do we have here?
Our Hall of Famer, Uncle Max, he says, if you look at draft picks and salary caps, I believe we could see a rematch between the two. I just don't see a team that can replace them at the top next year. So he's saying, run it back. They will, as the kids say, spin the block, or as those regular folks say, Chiefs and 49ers, back in the Super Bowl. Let's go ahead and take a peek into the wild and wacky mind of Trey Dizzle real quick. Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, easy. So Trey Dizzle sees the Kansas City Chiefs running it back for what, the fifth time? This would be what, the fifth and sixth? That'll be what, the fifth and sixth year?
Four and that'll be their fourth. They've won three of the last five, so they'd be looking at 4 out of 6 years and the three-peat. He's looking for the three-peat.
Yep, and something that's never been done in football. Has it been done? The three-peat? Because then the Steelers...
Not winning. I mean, the Bills went four straight, but yeah. Oh,
okay.
I think the Patriots went to three straight also, if I'm not mistaken, and lost that last one to the Eagles, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I'm going off the top of my head here. For me, personally, I keep saying I'm not betting against Mahomes, but I actually think in this situation the 49ers might be the team that has the better chance of the two. And I know that often it's the team that loses the Super Bowl has struggled in the subsequent year. The reason I say that is because I just don't see a whole lot of resistance in the NFC, because I think the 49ers, and I thought it a few weeks into the season this year, it became apparent to me that they looked like just the best team in the conference. At that point, Philadelphia looked pretty good. They were off to a 10-1 start, and they proved the fade. Obviously, you know, I don't buy McCarthy and Dak. That they're not going to beat San Francisco if they would play them next year. Green Bay looks like a good young team, but I don't believe they're in the same class as the San Francisco team. And the Lions, I think this was like their dream scenario season, and they didn't get it done. Are we going to expect Jared Goff to have another great season? Are we going to expect Dan Campbell to be a smarter coach and not, you know, play the percentages next year? I don't know. I you know, hard to predict the future, but as I'm predicting this, I'm going to say I think San Francisco is far more the class of the NFC, whereas I believe the Chiefs have a little bit more competition, one of which they didn't even have to worry about this year because Joe Burrow didn't play a whole lot of football. So if the Bengals get themselves right, if they get their team working together here this next year, Joe Burrow is a threat. I still think the Bills, they seem to shoot themselves in the foot often, but if they could have like their perfect game, they are capable of beating Kansas City. I actually think the Chiefs have a chance to be better next year because I think they were – like I said a couple weeks ago, I thought this is the season to get them because this is the year they had like their offensive struggles. Mm-hmm. Their receiving core was just not all that good this year. What if they go get Davante Adams or somebody like that? One of these Buccaneers receivers. It's going to be hard to beat that.
Think about it. If they get Mike Evans.
Yeah, you know, I got to believe that the Chiefs are going to be better next year. It wouldn't surprise me if they did win their third straight next year. But I just think that if you look at conference versus conference, there is more for the Chiefs to overcome than there is for the 49ers to overcome. So that's why I picked the 49ers. B-Live, tell me I'm wrong.
If they get Mike Evans, if they Rashee Rice is doing good, and if they get Mike Evans and they keep McCall, oh, Lord have mercy. Go ahead, B-Live. I'm sorry. I just had a...
They already kept Kadarius Toney away from the Super Bowl, so they're making a strike.
Get your ass out of here. You ain't doing nothing.
Nothing.
And speaking of catching, Lord have mercy. Marquez Valdes-Scantling caught the freaking football last night.
He couldn't have been more wide open. Good Lord. If he'd have dropped that one, he'd have been right on the he'd have been in the locker room with Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Get your ass out of here. Go ahead, B-Love. I'm sorry.
But no, you're perfectly fine because I'm curious because what Scotty D just said about if they pick up a top-notch wide receiver, because Kansas City just won the Super Bowl. I mean, Travis Kelce is going to be Travis Kelce. But, I mean, Mecole Hardman was their number one receiver. Justin Watson, that another tight end, had two tight ends in the top three in receiving. So you tell me because they have the chance to, and what wide receiver wouldn't want to be in Kansas City right now?
Yeah.
It would almost be like when Randy Moss joined Tom Brady. Like, this is absolutely the opportunity. And so that with that being said, I'm going with the Chiefs. Like I said at the beginning of the show, and I apologize to Scotty D. I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes again because he just won the Super Bowl with Mecole Hardman being his lead wide receiver.
And
that would reminded me of the 2015 Panthers where Ted Ginn was our leading receiver. speed, but they very little hands, a lot of speed. But man, just Patrick Mahomes just did the damn thing. And while I got the mic real quick, while I got it real quick, Eddie Kuhl can attest to this. Did you see a lot of? I was dubbing them the San Francisco Panthers last night. They tried to kill Christian McCaffrey. They tried to kill. I'm like, every play goes to Christian McCaffrey? Hey, y'all switch it up a little bit more than this during the regular season. But dang. I mean, he led in rushing, led in receiving.
Everything.
Juwan Jennings, shout out to Michael Irvin, because Michael Irvin called it. You know, there's 27,000 shows before the Super Bowl. Yeah. Michael Irvin, they asked him who he thought was going to be the X factor for the 49ers. He said Juwan Jennings, and Juwan Jennings did everything. He tried it.
For a minute there, he looked like the MVP frontrunner of the game.
Absolutely. I was like, Juwan Jennings. I was like, man, Michael Irvin nail on the head. Like, I think if San Fran would have won it, either Juwan Jennings or Christian McCaffrey would have won the MVP. And I mean, they both, it was, whew, man. And Brock Purdy, can he get better? Or has he hit his ceiling? That's a good question.
I think he can get better, because if you look at how he played last night, I think he played his best game of the season.
I think I think he's evolving. He played good, but this Patrick Mahomes. Jesus.
And he was under duress, man. He didn't make the mistake. He didn't throw the bad pick or anything to hurt his team.
Yeah, Brock Purdy played real solid. And Christian McCaffrey, I'm overlooking. I'm like, here we go.
Christian McCaffrey even had a fumble, but he sort of redeemed himself with that amazing, I'm gonna call that the amazing flea flicker super screen.
Yeah. And Juwan Jennings, when he threw the ball, I'm like, man, that ball been in the air for about 45 minutes. I got
that ball took a long time.
Long enough to allow a lineman downfield is what
I saw that too. I was like, ooh, you out there for a bit, Al.
Yeah, they got away with one there.
Boy, and that ball was just like,
I'm waiting on somebody just to come through and just, yeah, let me go ahead and get that. I'm going to grab that from you. But one of the linemen did a good job blocking the Kansas City player, and Christian McCaffrey high-stepping and dead-legging and doing Christian McCaffrey things. And I think for the most part, Steve Wilks did an amazing job. It's just you can only contain Patrick Mahomes for so long. And for 2.5, 3 quarters, I think he did a decent job.
I hate to see him not get a ring. I mean, it was just, both those defenses were just phenomenal on Sunday.
You see that, David? Yeah. You see that, David Temple? You see that, David Temple? I mean, your face. You should have kept Steve Wilks. You got a bunch of money. But you ain't smart. You ain't smart. You should have kept Steve Wilks. But
Scotty, did you help me out with this? Because I think you may have been watching a little bit better than I was. There was a time where Shanahan had to call a timeout because the defensive lineup was just wrong or something like that.
Yep.
They were getting it. Okay, so when was that?
It was in the fourth quarter.
Was it the fourth quarter or overtime?
It was in the fourth quarter, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And the reason why I bring that up is, like, I think Steve Wilks is in his wheelhouse as a defensive coordinator, as a head coach. That stuff like that, because they're criticizing that he stayed in cover zero at a time. I think that's why the timeout was made, because they were in like a they were just it was the wrong defensive formation and all kinds of other things. I say that. I digress. It don't matter. Steve Wilkes, you did an excellent job.
Yeah.
You deserve the opportunity to be there. Wish it could have been a different outcome, but it's still Patrick Mahomes.
The problem. And if you ask me who I think, you know what? I think the NFC has the path, the 49ers have the path of the least resistance, if I said that right, because even though you have upstart Green Bay and Detroit doing their thing, then you have Philly, and then Dallas, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, it's like this. It's like this. You know what you're going to get, but you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're going to get Jarrah, you know, playing the promoter and trying to put his team over, but yet still, in the words of Steve Harvey, hell, we know what's about to happen. Bring on the water. Yeah. I look at it like this. I think the 49ers, if they keep everybody together, if everybody stays healthy, they can make another run at it. Because think about it, Brock Purdy stayed healthy all season. He stayed healthy all season. He didn't get hurt or anything. He stayed upright all season. The defense is still stellar, and Kansas City faces the most resistance because Josh Allen. Sometimes with that Bills team, you don't know what version of Josh Allen you're gonna get. And then you got Joe Burrow. I mean, then you got, Justin Herbert on the rise. We'll see what he does year one.
Yeah, Harbaugh's in town.
Yeah, Harbaugh's in town. So you also got to throw Justin Herbert in there. So it's kind of like, I can see the image now. It's like Patrick Mahomes, like, standing, like, looking at the quarterbacks and him looking at Allen, him looking at Burrow, and him looking at Herbert, like, 1, 2, 3. It's like the road just gets tougher for Kansas City. But I think, you know what? I'm going to say it. Both teams going to spin the block, and both teams going to run it back. I think they both can do it.
I think it could happen.
Yeah, I think they both can do it because the game was good last night. I thought we was going to be dealing with Super Bowl 53 vibes. I'm like, oh, we got to deal with this damn low-ass score here. But thank the Lord we didn't. Shout out for everybody and their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. Scotty D, what's on Tickety Tap for next week, player?
Well, I kind of feel like I may know how this one's going to go, but it's worth the discussion anyway. But next year is the arrival in the booth of Mr. Tom Brady. So I'm going to ask you, are you looking forward to hearing Brady in the booth, or are you mad that Olsen is getting bumped to the side? Would you rather have Brady or Olsen? That's what we're going to talk about next week, Eddie. Well, that'll give us something to chat about.
Matter of fact, I think we got Greg Olsen on the line. Greg Olsen, how do you feel about getting Buddha for Tom Edward Patrick Carmichael Fitzgerald Brady? Greg, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I was really looking forward to doing a Super Bowl next year. But now, Tom Brady, he's been to enough Super Bowls. I don't think he should get to go to another one. I'm not really excited about being the number two guy. I think I should be the number one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Greg Olsen giving us we provide a safe space for Greg Olsen. We're kind of like the club Shay Shay for Greg Olsen. We give him a safe space to say what he got to say and get off his chest. And I'm not going to ask no questions. Why? Because Greg Olsen, that's how you feel. Ain't that right, Greg?
Yeah.
sounded like damn LA night. We're having too much fun. Coming up next, be live. Bust out that pepper grinder. Let's guess what time it is. Time for a round of pepper. Coming at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Right, Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
All right, y'all heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. But before we go, It's a round of pepper. You know how to do it. Three topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, educate, and entertain. The four E's in no particular order, but they always wind up in that order. But with that being said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll go first, all right? On this day in history, back in 1974, James Cool Papa Bell is named to baseball's Hall of Fame. With a name like that, you got to get in. Over to you, Scotty D.
Yeah, I got to get it. That's a Hall of Fame name.
Yeah.
So Nick Taylor won the Phoenix Open on Sunday. Just as the national anthems are getting going, the Phoenix Open went into a playoff with Nick Taylor beating Charlie Hoffman. I believe Taylor birdied four out of the last five holes. And unlike last year when he won the Canadian Open, Adam Hadwin did not get tackled on the green in celebration of Nick Taylor's victory. This was a wild event. As a lot of the crowds were just out of control. They were trying to turn this into, they kind of tried to hijack the event, make it into a big party. And it's always known for its rockets crowds. They actually had to stop letting people in at one point on Saturday because there were 200,000 people in there. And Jordan Spieth could had a hard time getting to the golf course. So, you know, as much fun as we have, let's remember, this is still a PGA event. If you go to one, remember that. Do better. You're not live golf. Be live. Yep. Over to you.
What? Phoenix Open, people, fans, keep doing what you're doing. That's what makes the Phoenix Open exactly what it is. It is an event. The players know it. PGA knows it. Keep that one. All the other events where you have Jordan Spieth at the tee box. He chooses a 3-wood. Just give me one. Give me a Happy Gilmore. Golf needs that. Golf needs a little bit more excitement in it. When I say needs it, doesn't really need it, but I just think a little bit more buzz, a little more hype. I was watching it for that very reason, because I wanted to see the beer shower. What was the 16th hole that they do it? Or something like that? I don't know. But either way, I was wondering why somebody was talking about they were switching channels between the Super Bowl and the Phoenix Open. Because I didn't know it went into playoff.
Yeah, Nick Taylor got hot down the stretch. I think Hoffman had like a 2-shot lead, and he just kept birdieing.
Wow.
He kept birdieing, and
I stopped watching around like the 11th, 12th hole because Nick Taylor was in the lead. So I guess Hoffman must have overtook him. Scheffler was around there. So, I had to make moves in Super Bowl time. All right, this is the exact opposite of pepper. Let me get it back. All right, my first pepper point, we're going to go to the ice. And I learned some things. Well, we all know that Wayne Gretzky is the GOAT. I think that is undisputed, undeniable. Wayne Gretzky is that dude. But another one of Gretzky's records fell. Alexander Ovechkin decided, he was like, you know what? I'm going to pass the great one when there's no goalie in the net.
Amen.
Ovechkin's, he has now 57 empty net goals, which broke the tie between him and Gretzky. Gretzky has 56 empty net goals. And Ovechkin now, he only needs 60 goals to tie Gretzky's and power play goals and overtime goals. So Ovechkin is, he said, let me keep trying. Let me see if I can put some WD-40 on these knees and make sure my dental plan is all right with the missing teeth.
I was about to say something about that mouth.
Hey. Ovechkin, do what it do. OV, Eddie Cool, the puck.
All right. Dun, 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 dun. Y'all remember the laser puck when Fox did the Fox on NHL?
I need that back. Yes, I love it.
Oh, man.
I know Scotty D hated it. I know Scotty D hated it.
That shadow of falling up.
No, the blue streak. Yeah, blue.
Yeah, crap. I was fine with the shadow, but that little was like, oh,
the little tail shot out of it.
Yeah. It's a comet. All right, so my second pepper point, I think we kind of breezed over. We didn't talk about it at all. But as we know, all of the coaching vacancies in the NFL are filled, and we have two notable coaches kind of just out there. One being Bill Belichick, probably because nobody want to deal with him. And the second gentleman, former Tennessee Titans coach Mike Vrabel. Just when you thought you heard it all about a reason why a person won't be getting the job. So as I'm looking at this article here posted by the New York Post, it says an anonymous GM said on Mike Vrabel, he's a very large human being and can be very intimidating to people in an organization. Now, Pro Football Focus listed Mike Vrabel at 6'4 and 261 pounds when he played during the NFL, and he's played during that time he played 14 seasons in the NFL for a number of teams, including the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Kansas City Chiefs. And he spent six seasons at the helm for the Titans with a record of 54-45. He's too big. He's too intimidating. But then again, you have 300-pound linemen, offensive linemen on your team, but they're not big. They're not intimidating. You know what, anonymous GM, whoever the hell you are, do better. You miss out on a great coach in Mike Vrabel. He probably can help your team out a great deal. It's probably why you're sorry as hell. Over to you, Scotty D.
And to continue, yes, that is why the Cowboys are sorry, because he was interested in the defensive coordinator position for the Dallas Cowboys. And here's who the Cowboys decided that they were their best candidates. Ron Rivera, who hasn't been a defensive coordinator since, what, was like 2013?
Oh, since
Mike Zimmer, who has not been in the league since 2021, and Rex Ryan, who's been out of football since 2016. Meanwhile, Vrabel is interested in the job, and all signs are indicating that it's going to be Zimmer, although it's not official, and that is why the Cowboys will not be the subject of the game last night a year from now. Be live. Over to you.
My second pepper point. Let's talk a little baseball, because how the season ended last year for the Oakland A's was anything but stellar. What was it? They had the protest game or something like that, where people like filled up the stadium just to prove to everybody, hey, we have the fans here in Oakland. Y'all need to do better about have a better team and blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess the Oakland A's, or whatever they're going to be called, Las Vegas A's, or et cetera, is not getting too fond of a reaction, because they still haven't even broken ground yet for where the heck they're playing. And the mayor of Las Vegas, Carolyn Goodman, she's like, y'all may need to go back to Oakland and figure things out there, because we ain't got nothing for you.
Wow.
Because not only where they had a place planned on the Las Vegas Strip, but again, still haven't broken ground. But Goodman's like, that's not a feasible option because of the traffic congestion. And she proposed a spot that's actually in Las Vegas, because I learned that Allegiant Stadium, where the Raiders play and where they're trying to put the Oakland A stadium, is actually not in Las Vegas. It's in Paradise. And actually, that the Las Vegas Strip is unincorporated. So the tax money goes to the county, not the city of Las Vegas. So she's like, you can either come to the city where we can make some money off of y'all, or y'all might need to work these next couple years out in Oakland. Las Vegas, you did a great showing for the Super Bowl, but you need to figure out this baseball thing out. Eddie Cool, the ball.
I mean, you have to look at it like from a size standpoint, Vegas ain't that big of a city. It ain't. So it's just, it's weird though. But yeah, she said, hey, I'm gonna need y'all, that's like a bad relationship. I need y'all to figure that out before you start coming to Boca, all right? All right. So Third and final pepper point before we get up out of here. The Pro Football Class, Hall of Fame Class of 2024 was revealed Thursday night at the NFL Honors in Las Vegas, Resorts World, 3 days before the Super Bowl. And I'm reading as follows. Dwight Freeney, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers, Patrick Willis, Randy Grandishar, and Steve Mongo McMichaels. All right. What about this? Grandishar and McMichaels were both nominated by the senior committee. Shout out to everybody. And now I'm starting to feel old because other than Randy Grandishar and Steve McMichael, I've watched all but those two guys play. But shout out to Julius Peppers and the Carolina Panthers. That makes two in the Hall of Fame. Over to you, Scotty D.
Yep, and a nice job that night by Cam Hayward, too, and his getting the Walter Payton Award. That was pretty cool. So in the spirit of the holiday week, I just want to give a couple shout-outs here. I want to give a shout-out to Josh Hart, to Kevin Love and Jordan Love, to the Hart Foundation, Jimmy hey. Hart, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Brett the Hitman Hart, and Natalia Neidhart. A shout-out to Lovey Smith. A shout-out to Derek Rose and Pete Rose, to Ron Darling and Babe Ruth. And personally, a shout-out to Olympic star Lolo Jones, who I lolo love. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Be live. Take us home.
That was impressive.
That was epic, Scotty D.
That was impressive. Oh, man. And here I come to ruin the mood with my third and final pepper point, because I don't give a... The Washington Commanders just recently hired Cliff Kingsbury, former Arizona Cardinals head coach, as their offensive coordinator. Here's the problem. They still had an offensive coordinator.
Sitting right there.
Eric Bieniemy was still on the team when they hired Cliff Kingsbury. And so subsequently, the day after, they let Bieniemy go. So they waited until all the other coaching spots got picked up. All the coordinators most likely got picked up. They hire an offensive coordinator, and then they let Eric Bieniemy go. Where do they do that at? Washington Redskins, no name football team, Commander Piglets, with their new owners. Come on, Magic Johnson, and what's his Josh or whatever his name? It's do better. How do you? I'm sitting in my office as the offensive coordinator, and I'm like, okay, you know, got to figure something out. I only had a 1 year deal, but you know what? I'm getting prepared for next season. We're going to make some moves, make some plans, and everything. I'm looking at TV. Oh, they hire somebody for my job, and I'm sitting right. Oh, you dirty bastard. Yes. Oh, if that was me, I'd have been tearing up everything. I'd have been like Shawn Michaels when they had him backstage and he kicked Stan. Yeah. I just kicked Stan. I'd have tore the whole building down.
Yeah, stuff would have got tore up. Yeah, that's like finding that's like you looking at the TV and be like, oh damn, I've been replaced. And you just sit there like, what am I gonna do now? I don't know, man. It makes me wonder, man. Is Eric being cut out for the job or not? But anyways, that being said, fellas, we got all three of our pepper points in.
We do.
Sure.
All right. Thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Sports Bros Podcast. And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. They'll greatly appreciate it now more than ever. Be a blessing, not a burden. This is the Sports Bros Podcast. Remember, rate, review, share, subscribe, tell your friends, show us some love. Be live. Take us home.
Yes, sir.
Greg Olson, how do you feel about joining the Sports Bros Podcast for next season?
Yeah, if I can be the number one guy, I might consider doing that. Yeah.
Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast.
Thank you for listening. And as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.